especially for me. All right. If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to the book of 1 Timothy tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We'll read verses 12 through 16, then jump down to verse 20 through 21. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse number 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now skip on down to verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and opposition of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this time tonight, and everybody's made it to church, and I pray that this message will challenge all of us, and God, help us to be faithful, help us to be people of endurance. God, help us to realize that we live our lives not in a vacuum, but before this world. And so what we do and what we don't do is extremely important. So help us to be faithful, I pray, before this world, and help us to stay in the fight. And help us to keep on going on. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to preach on this subject. Hold on tonight. Hold on. The Bible, if we look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and the reason I skipped a few of those verses, because it's almost as if Paul pretty much come to a conclusion, and then he's like, you know what? Holy Spirit, there's a few other things I want to say about some other things. Kind of like a preacher preaching. He about gets done, then he wants to go back and rehash some things he just said. And it seems that he did that, but then he adds another conclusion and concluding thoughts, and we want to tie those thoughts together. Anybody study the Bible about any period of time knows that the 1st, 2nd Timothy, knowing that Titus as well, were what is often called pastoral epistles. They were written by the Apostle Paul, giving instruction to young pastors and about the conduct and the way things ought to be done in church, and but also specifically to encourage them. When we examine them closely, we see that there is a great tenderness and affection that Paul has for Timothy, whom he regards as his own son in the faith. In many ways, Timothy was his protege. Paul would send Timothy ahead, and he'd say he would know what to do. He knows the way I think. And so that's how Timothy knew the heart of the Apostle Paul as well as anyone that ever lived. He was a close friend. He was converted during Paul's missionary journey. And if Paul had a young man that he was going to leave behind that would carry on his legacy, there's no doubt it would be Timothy. And so when we read 1st and 2nd Timothy, we realize that Paul is getting older. We realize that Paul, and especially by the time we get 2nd Timothy, that his days are just few in number. And you can hear the passion. You can hear the emotion that comes from the writings, especially to Timothy. I believe that pervades even more so than about any of the writings of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to this young man. And there's some themes that are picked up in the first chapter in 1 Timothy that you also see in 2 Timothy. And what's amazing, it's almost like he gives a theory on fighting the good fight. But when you come to chapter number 2, it's not a theory anymore. It is a statement of faith. It's a testimony that he had fought the good fight. And so tonight I want to look at this just a little bit, and I want to encourage you with it. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 in verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This is a charge of sorts to young Timothy. He charges him. You find it in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God. And that's what we see. We see his charge. A charge was often a military command. It was orders. And Brother Price would often say we have orders from headquarters. And that's what he was getting. He was getting orders from headquarters from the Apostle Paul. But more than that, it was from God. It was a military command that showed the seriousness and the gravity of the task that laid before him. And Timothy, even though there were some things he was timid, some things that he lacked some courage in, Paul had the utmost confidence in him because he saw God work in his life and he was convinced that God was going to use him. So he wanted him to understand what was before him. And this charge was before God. But not only is it before God present, but this charge was to be continued until the coming of the Lord or until the end. Because he said before Christ Jesus, who witnessed a good witness before Pontius Pilate, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the apocalypsis, you might say, or the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, until the time of his coming. He speaks of his trust, not only his charge, but his trust. We see this in verse number, we look in verse 14, that thou keep this commandment, that word keep. Look again in verse number 20. O Timothy, keep that which is what committed to thy trust. That word keep means to guard or protect what has been given you. In other words, somebody has handed you something of great value. You are to guard it or protect it as a trust or something that you would invest, something that you would guard with your life. You've been entrusted with this. And what has he been entrusted with? When we read the book of 1st, 2nd Timothy, I want to tell you that it's pretty evident to me. Number one, he's been entrusted to study the Word of God. He's been entrusted to preach doctrine. He's reminded of this over and over and over again, to abide by healthy and wholesome words, healthy and wholesome teaching and instruction, doctrine. That he reminds him this over and over. He wants him to put in trust, to guard, protect the faith that was once delivered to him. You'll find again in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, he said, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same thing commit thou to faithful men who shall teach others also. And so, so what we find, it's been committed to his trust. He's to guard the faith, the things he's learned from Paul. Why is he to guard this? Because it's always under assault. Truth is always under assault in every generation. And it must be protected by faithful men. Why? Because if we don't, it will die out. But thank God there's been faithful men that has preserved it, and faithful churches preserved it, and the truth is still there today before us. Amen? So I'm thankful for that. So we have the same trust. And so we find there's a word of responsibility. He's constantly telling, not only to, when he tells him to guard or protect, I believe, the doctrine, but the ministry of the word was one thing Paul constantly reminded him to take advantage of the calling that he had on his life to preach it. He had a responsibility to instruct others, so we could go on and on. And there's a conflict. Verse 12, he speaks of this fight, the good fight of faith. We see it in verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which committed thy trust. Why? Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred from the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Timothy, he understood the truth was always, there's always going to be a conflict, always going to be a battle. He also warned him against the chatter, the noises, the complaints. He also warned him, listen, there'd be vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely called. And I'll not chase all that tonight, but the truth of the matter, there's always a lot of chatter that a preacher has to listen to. But you don't need to get caught up in that as much as you need to be wrapped up in the Word of God. Be consumed within it. Timothy, being his son, There's some things that he wants to instruct him. Now, the Bible says this in verse number 12, to fight the good fight of faith and hold on and lay hold of eternal life. Now, if we look at this and think that eternal life is something you lay hold of, it's something you grasp or something that you would obtain, you would capture. That's not what he's talking about there. What he's talking about, the fact that he has been given eternal life and he needs to be gripped by it, or to grip it and to understand that this is his life calling and this is his life purpose. Nothing else. He needs to be consumed. He needs to be grasped by what he's been grasped by. He needs to lay hold of what is lay holding to him and take it and run with it and stay by it. And that's what he's encouraging him to hold on. Now, I want to say, I've been preaching since 1993, and I have seen many young men that have surrendered to preach that are no longer in the ministry. I have seen many, many people that have said that God called me to preach. I know many that pastor churches 3-4 years, they're no longer there today. And I'm not trying to cut them down, but you know what I've seen a greater departure from than pastors? People who claim to be Christians and love the Lord and members of His church. They wouldn't grasp. What had grasped them in salvation, they didn't lay hold of themselves. Either they were not truly saved, or they got saved and then they allowed the world, like the Demases, they allowed the world to affect them in such a fashion that they were taken out of the church because of the love and the affections of this world. The truth is, as we look into the Word of God, I want to say to you, what he encourages Timothy is to remain in the fight. And I want you to see that tonight. He says, listen, fight the good fight of faith. How many times does he talk about things? Thou warrest a good warfare, right? I mean, we see these analogies that's used all throughout Timothy. He talks about sporting events, and he talks about laboring, and he talks about these difficult things, be strong. He mentions this, but the word used for fight here is a Greek word called agorazo. You know what that word comes from? English word is agony. Do you realize that in the Isthmian Games, which was held in the opposite year as the Olympic Games, when there was wrestlers or boxers, guess what happened to them if they lost the match? Their eyeballs were gouged out. Now, I don't know about you, if I had to fight anybody, and they were going to gouge out my eyeballs if I lost, you might beat me, but I promise you I'm going down scratching, clawing, and biting and digging my big toe in you somewhere. Amen? Well, I'm fighting. I'm giving everything. I'm going to agonize in that thing. And the word for fight is agonize. It means to struggle. And what he's telling him, fight the good fight of faith. Stay in the struggle. May Christians today need to understand this thing is not just about fun and games. Amen? It's not always easy. And so there's a struggle in the Christian life, and even ministry is a struggle. We're remaining in the fight. And you say, remain in the fight how? Well, I'll tell you a few things. When success don't seem plausible, remain in the fight. I believe remain in the fight when victory doesn't seem attainable. Remain in the fight when enduring doesn't seem probable. Endure in the fight when the direction of your life is unfavorable. I believe remain in the fight when suffering doesn't seem like it is endurable. Remain in the fight when the cost doesn't look affordable. I say remain in the fight and continue even though it doesn't seem like your service to the Lord is attainable. I say stay in the fight whether circumstances are unsuitable. Stay in the fight when life is not peaceable. Stay in the fight when the enemy is more than formidable. Stay in the fight when the toll it's taking on you is uncalculable. Stay in the fight. And you say, why is that? Because Paul went from theory here. He's telling him to stay in the fight, Timothy. But when you come to chapter 2, Paul's getting ready to die, and he knows it. Or 2 Timothy, rather. Come to 2 Timothy, Paul knows he's getting ready to die. He longs to see Timothy. But just in case, Timothy, you remember back that one letter I wrote to you? I've told you, stay in the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And I don't know if they had a conversation. He said, Paul, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can sustain this. I don't know if I can keep this up. I don't know if this is even probable. I don't know. You know what Paul tells him when you get there? Again, chapter 4, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that passion? He's getting ready to die. And again, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ who judge the quick and the dead. And that's the living and the dead at His appearing. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We see that all the time. And Paul said, Timothy, you're going to face this too. And they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned to fables. He says, watch in all things. He says, endure afflictions, Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. But notice what he says. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. What does he say here? I've fought a good fight. Now, in chapter number 6 of 1 Timothy, he tells him to fight the good fight of faith. Here Paul, realizing that death is imminent, says, I've fought a good fight. So now he's not speaking as one. His life, he knows, is closed. He knows his time basically is over. He knows death is imminent at any moment. And here's what Paul says. I told you to fight the good fight of faith. And it may not seem possible, plausible. It might not even seem that you can be able to endure it. But listen to this. Timothy, I've fought a good fight. And if I've fought a good fight, and if I've finished my course, guess what? You can finish your fight, and you can finish your course. That's what Paul is exhorting this young man. And you say, are you sure about that? Well, notice this. Notice that. He wants him to understand the cost of something. You say you don't know that you can afford it. He said, listen to me, Timothy, for I'm now ready to be offered. My life has been poured out. And now standing from the end zone looking back, man, I can tell you that you can do this. You can accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. He wants you to understand that the end is reachable. He says, listen, for the time of my departure is at hand. Paul had struggled and Paul had labored, and he told Timothy to look ahead to that day when the Lord would come, because they expected in his lifetime. But if not, it didn't matter. He was to keep serving. Amen. He was to keep serving. And get this. He says, you may not see the end in sight, and there may be days that you long for the end, but I promise you one day you're going to see the finish line, and one day you're going to cross that finish line, Timothy. Man, you think about this. He wanted him to remain in the fight. Now, why do you want to remain in a fight? Because, you see, he let him understand that this fight is endurable. I've fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I've done what God has asked me to do, and I have kept the faith. You see, his faith was sustainable. The Apostle Paul, have you ever read what the Apostle Paul went through? He didn't fall out. He didn't quit. He made it. You know what? One day our life's going to be over with. I hope I'm able to stand from the end zone. I hope at the brink of death I'd say, I fought a good fight. I hope when life gets ready to fade away and I get ready to close on that last breath here on this earth, I'd say, you know what? I've done what God, I've finished my course. I was able to accomplish what God has asked me to do. That ought to be our greatest desire. Now, it might have been theory to Timothy back in 1 Timothy. But here Timothy's looking at his hero. Do you see that? Paul still yet, in his mind, maybe he's going to be here several more years. But now he's looking, he realizes, because he's begging him to come quickly, because he knows he's going to die. And he says, listen, this is not theory anymore. He has finished his course. He's standing at the gate. The departure time's up and it's near. He's getting ready to leave this world. He was able to do what God called him to do. And if Paul can do it, I can do it. Man, we need to find us some men. We need to find us some women and look at their lives and say, if they are able to live for the glory of God, so can I. You see, the problem is we look around and what we see is failures on every side. Let me give you this. The first letter, as I said, was theory. The second letter was testimony. Amen. He's saying, I did it. Now, what can I glean from this? Listen, the crisis of my life, guess what? They're survivable. You see, I need to remain in the fight, because not only the crisis of my life survivable, I believe the cause that Christ has us in is credible. It is a worthy cause. for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, for the cause of the gospel, people lost and dying, we need to preach the gospel. The suffering is honorable. You see, he suffered these things. But I want you to understand, this journey may seem dark at times, but you listen to this preacher, it is navigationable. You follow the word of God, you'll get there, and victory is inevitable. Why? Because if you remain in the fight, amen, Paul looks at it, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, amen. I'll come back to that here in a minute. But victory is inevitable for the people that stay in the fight. Secondly, I want you to see this, realize the seriousness of this. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, turn back there with me. The Bible says, but the old man of God, flee these things in verse 11. Fall after righteousness, gentleness, faith, love, patience. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life wherein thou art called and hast professed a good profession. He has made a good profession. Why does he need to realize the seriousness now? Now he needs to remain in fight, but he needs to realize something too. He needs to realize the seriousness of his profession. Why is that? Because you see, not all are going to finish well. Not all are going to run till the end. And if you're not careful, when you look at all those people who fall out along the way, you get discouraged. People you love drop out of church, it discourages you. As pastor, and I guarantee it did Timothy, people that used to serve the Lord well and no longer are serving, it's discouraging. Men that's dropped out of the ministry, it's discouraging. Family members, when they drop out of church, it's discouraging. Can we not agree? Not everybody is going to finish well. Not everybody is going to sustain. And if you're not careful, you need to realize the seriousness of this. You'll be a casualty too. So what do you need to realize? Two things. Let me say this. Because others fall out doesn't mean you have to. But the two things I want you to notice this is, number one, other people are watching you. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He writes to him, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, Timothy. Be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, or in love, or in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, encouraging, and to what? Doctrine. Timothy, other people are watching you. They're going to notice in that last verse the things that are serious to you, right? But first, in verse number 12, he says, I want you to be example in your life. Why is that? Because there's people watching you. Let me just tell you, you may not think that there's many people watching you, but I guarantee you there's eyeballs, maybe of a little child, maybe it's a grandchild, maybe it's an uncle, it may be a nephew, it may be a niece, it may be an aunt. It may be your own mother or your own father. The truth is this, somebody is watching you. And Timothy being young is not an excuse. You need to understand that there's eyeballs on you, and you need to realize the seriousness of your calling and what God has called you to do. And so others are watching, but not only that, others are counting on you. And you say, where do you get that? Well, look in verse 14 of 1 Timothy chapter number 4 again. He says, neglect. He says, Timothy, neglect not the gift that's in thee. Why are they counting on him? Because, you see, he was endowed with a spiritual gift. I don't know what it was. And it happened. They all knew it when they laid hands on him, when he was ordained. But he says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, take heed unto thyself. Let me tell you what I think he's saying here pretty clearly. That as you advance in your study of the Word of God and your knowledge, it's going to be noticeable by other people around you. Friends, I want to tell you, our knowledge shouldn't diminish, it should grow. And not only should it grow, it should be apparent to people around us as we study the Bible. You know what the problem is? Many of us get satisfied right where we're at. We need to grow. And Timothy, by your growth, you're going to help others. Now, number one, yes, others are watching, but others are counting on you whether they realize it or not. Because if he was leading pastors that was in Ephesus, or he was the pastor of that church at Ephesus, look at this. He says, take heed unto thyself. Pay attention to yourself. You need to spend some time focused on self and to doctrine. You need to develop yourself personally and doctrine and continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself from what? From what? Being a casualty. Being a casualty. Being one that, see, there's many that didn't realize the seriousness of the battle and their casualty today. No longer serving. But you'll save not only yourself by giving heed to yourself, paying attention to yourself and to doctrine, but to them that hear thee. Let me tell you something. I believe every pastor ought to be a student of the Word of God above and beyond everything. And what we find in this generation, we're looking more for CEOs. What we're desiring in church is not men filled with fire on the Word of God, but so much more men who can come up with great programs and great ideas and have a great personality. What we need is men to stand up and preach the Bible without apology once again, because that is what's going to save himself, and that's what's going to save others, whether they realize it or not. If we want the church to sustain, I believe it takes preaching of the Word of God. It says, this is what God says. You know, the easiest thing the world do is find a topic and jump on it and run with it and make it enjoyable. But preaching the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, that preach the Word, Timothy. Don't preach about the Word. Don't find you a pretext. Pretext is somebody finds a little part of a verse and preaches from that. You ever heard that? They take a little bit of it and run with it. Let me tell you another thing that I believe that we see here. Not only others counting on us. I believe that we need to realize this, that returning is not optional. Because the Bible, it's not an option to return. He says, if you've taken hold of eternal life, you professed a good profession for many witnesses. You want me to tell you why a lot of people turn back? Because they never really surrendered. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, and I'm just going to give you some verses. Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, he was crucified with Christ, yet he lived. But it really wasn't him. What's he saying? You know what the Christian life is? Is the outliving of the inliving Christ. Is Christ living through you? I'm talking about being crucified. Look in the Bible, says in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 24. Matthew 16, turn there. Matthew 16. Verse 24. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Paul's telling Timothy, you need to just surrender. You need to fight the good fight of faith. You just need to die to self, and you need to find yourself wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You find your life in him. It's the same thing that Jesus is saying here. Look in Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. Luke 14, verse 26 and verse 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, it's not commanding you to go out and hate your dad tonight, egg his house. Not saying go roll your mama's big old pine trees out in front. It's not what it's saying to do. Don't go put toilet paper roll them things. Don't hate them like, not saying that. He's speaking in comparative language. And I've said this before, if you're driving down the road doing 65 and a 55 mile an hour speed limit, somebody blows by you and you say, wow, they passed me like I was sitting still. That's comparative language. If they went by you so fast it made you look like you were sitting still, but you were still yet moving well beyond the speed limit. Amen? And what Jesus is saying, your love for the Lord Jesus ought to so surpass the love that you have for mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, and uncles, whoever is in your family, it makes it look like hate in comparison. What is that? Somebody that has got a hold of eternal life. That's somebody that is grasping what has grasped them. That is someone that is holding on to what God has called them to do. Now he goes on, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, a crucified man, we're called to live a crucified life. A crucified man cannot crucify himself. Somebody else has to do it. And a crucified man, once he's on a cross, look here. He don't make no plans for tomorrow. Why? Because he don't have no plans. He don't have a tomorrow. A crucified man, guess what? He's not looking back, because by the way they crucified someone and the body was contorted, they couldn't turn their head barely to the left or the right. There's no way they could turn and look around. You want me to tell you the reason people go back is because they never got crucified. I mean, as a teenager, I was in and out of church. I've told you this many times, but I finally made it up to the amen section because I got tired of being around teenagers to talk during service. That's honest God's truth. And after a while, I got to hollering amen at the preacher. Amen, I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed it as much as going to any ball game. Brother Price gets preacher, I get excited, and it's hard to believe. 18 fired up about the word, sitting there, amen, amen, that's good, preacher. And they're looking at me, them older old deacons. We had an amen corner back in, amen, good stuff. Maybe we need to, they hired mourners back in the Bible. I need to hire some amen people and put them in a corner. And that'd be awesome. And so, one day Brother Price walked over and he looked at my grandpa and he said, I tell you what, we don't have to worry about Grant no more. I didn't understand that. I thought, I'll have to go back a little bit. But you see, he saw something in me. Probably something like Paul saw Timothy. Nothing, I'd never seen it myself, but he saw that it was more than just a ritual, it was more than just emotion, that it was something deep-rooted in me, and returning was an option. He wants Timothy to remain in the fight. He wants him to realize, yes, some are not going to make it, don't get discouraged, but realize that people are watching you and people are depending on you, whether they realize it or not. Are you profiting? Every Christian needs to grow. Returning is not even a question if you've been surrendered. And finally this, he wanted him to realize that there's a reward that is certain. And he speaks about that a little bit in 1 Timothy. But Paul getting ready to die, in some of his last words, he says to him, yes, I'm now ready to be offered. My life has been poured out, literally is what he says, like a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to go. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. But henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. But not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Think about that. To all those that love his appearing. Sounds like the same thing that he said over in 1 Timothy. He said that he's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And may I say to you, I'm thankful that we have a God that will reward us. And you say, what do I need to do? I want to tell you, hold on, stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Every Christian here, the easiest thing to do is to fall back into the world or fall into the world. But if you get serious about this and you surrender to the Lord, I tell you what, you'll stay in the fight. I want to encourage you to stay in the fight, because why? It's worth it. Man, my life is passing just like that, seems like. I mean, in many of you, you understand, it goes by just like that. Boom, boom, fast. And Danny said, life is like a roll of toilet paper. It gets faster toward the end, right? So Danny Ayers, that's true. It gets faster. I want to tell you what, another 15 years from now, I'll be standing and say, you know what, I think I can see the end in sight. But you know what? It might not be 15 years. It might be 5. It might be this year. I don't know. But I want to finish like Paul said. I want to go. I want to go to the end. That ought to be your desire too. Our Father, God, give us a holy zeal to live for you. God, that we might stay in the fight. God, that we may take hold of eternal life that thou hast given us. And God, may we be consumed by it and the calling you have placed on our life, and realize that this life will soon end. And God, one day we're going to stand before you. So help us to be able to do that. Lord, looking for that crown. And God, I pray not only as this church, but I pray, God, for every person that knows you, may they strive, that they may be rewarded on that day. But God, help us to be faithful as a church that we might be rewarded. Lord, I thank you for your word. And God, may you put a fire in our soul. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's